Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. Coming up on Friday, we've got high school football coverage at 6 o'clock. Of course, IU football on Saturday. Big game if Indiana continues its winning ways and gets a fifth win on the season. We'll continue to see them be in some bowl projections, and I'm going to talk about that coming up here in the headline segment in just a few minutes. But lots going on. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, Southern Indiana and IU news of the day as we begin the program. A few things to look at. Archie Miller giving us a little behind-the-scenes look yesterday on his Twitter account of some improvements going on at Cook Hall. I think it's a team area and kind of a locker room situation there. Been tracking who is signing, who has been to Bloomington, who has visited Archie Miller, who has visited Assembly Hall and signed the new alumni wall, they call it. It's the state of Indiana carved out in red. We'll tell you the latest visitor to that. Another recruiting note with a Indiana player that I think is noteworthy of interest. We'll talk some of that recruiting stuff and then bowl projection for this Indiana team. There's a few of them out there, and I'll tell you what a couple of them have to say and a few high school football notes as well as we begin to turn the corner this midweek and head toward the weekend, the final week of high school football in this 2019 season. We'll do all of that in segment one, our Zaxby's headlines, and then coming up in segment two, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, now joining us regularly on Wednesdays to talk IU basketball, does a great job not only covering the Hoosiers, but the Boilermakers and the Butler Bulldogs as well for The Athletic, and we'll talk with him about the upcoming season and, of course, Indiana's secret scrimmage, which takes place this weekend. The exhibition game is just around the corner. The start of the regular season is almost here. If we can just make it to early November, we'll have college basketball on a regular basis to watch, to talk about, and that's essentially when the season really gets underway. I can't wait for another couple weeks here to pass. We'll do that with Dustin Dopierak. Later in the program, Craig Pearson, the News and Tribune sports editor, he'll join me, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt, to talk some local sports. We're going to get into some of the high school football week nine, last week of regular season games. We got to look ahead a little bit to the sectional pairings, which came out on Sunday. And I want to give a little love today to volleyball. We've got some really good volleyball teams. We've got some really good volleyball standouts individually. Some are already committed to play big-time college volleyball. And we'll take a look at the volleyball sectionals now that that tournament is underway. Can Providence make another miraculous run? Can they compete for a state championship? Well, there's some other teams in the area as well that could have some solid state tournament appearances. So we'll talk some volleyball today with Craig when he joins us a little bit later in the show. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday, October 16th, brought to you by Zaxby's with a location in both New Albany and Jeffersonville. Couple things to get to. Archie Miller with a little video. He's not real active on social media. We always talk about Coach Miller not terribly outspoken, doesn't have a lot of press conferences, especially in the off season when there aren't games and reasons for him to meet with the press. You really don't hear much from him. And the same could be said for social media as well. I'm sure he uses it for some recruiting purposes, but not a lot of stuff do you get from him on social media, at least original stuff. He has taken to his Twitter account recently to give some behind-the-scenes look at some of the construction going on at Cook Hall. It's not anything to do with the practice facility itself or the court, but some behind-the-scenes stuff. It looked like he was going through a team room, a lounge of some sort area, giving an update on that. So that's going on concurrently as the team is practicing. I don't know what the due date on that is as far as when the team will be able to use it. There's been so many facility improvements around not just basketball but football and other sports. It's really hard to keep up with all the gifts and the things that have come into Indiana to make some of these possible. But clearly Coach Miller is wanting to show that off even when it's not near completion and doesn't near look like as pristine as what it will look as some of the other facilities that Indiana has debuted recently, but definitely a behind-the-scenes look from him on some of the improvements at Cook Hall. Also, the IU alumni wall, neat to see the players that have been back to sign the wall. I think I counted 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 or 14 signatures on the alumni wall so far. It's essentially the state of Indiana. I think it's made out of wood, cut out with a red outline. It lights up behind it. Pretty cool. The most recent player that was there to sign the wall, Matt Nover, back on IU campus yesterday, a member of the 1992 Final Four team, the latest to sign the wall. And, of course, he signed it up in the northwest corner of Indiana. He's a Chesterton native and a graduate of Chesterton High School as well. So pretty cool to see Matt Nover back on campus. That takes you back to some of the good days of IU basketball. And also a recruiting note on the basketball side of things before we get to football. I wanted to mention, you know, yesterday we talked about Davis from Lawrence Central, DeAndre Davis, that is a current senior that decommitted recently, actually over the weekend, to Nebraska. He's actually had two different stints of being committed to Nebraska. The first came under Coach Miles in the previous regime, and then when the new staff came in, he basically reaffirmed or recommitted to Nebraska with a new coaching staff that came in the offseason. He decommitted over the weekend, opened his recruitment back up. I've asked some of the guys that have been on the program, you know, is Indiana going to get involved with him? You heard Mike Pegram yesterday say he could be, you know, throw him, throw Trey Galloway, throw Anthony Lille in a bag, draw them out. You could pick a different one out every time that maybe ends up to have the best college basketball career. So they're pretty neck and neck, but so similar to some of the other players, including the in-state guys like Lille and Galloway. It's hard for Mike, at least yesterday, telling us that to see Indiana getting involved in DeAndre Davis now that he decommits from Nebraska. But it's possible another Big Ten school does, and it's definitely likely that he's going to play a pretty high level of Division I college basketball. I mention all that because yesterday I read a news report from Jody Dimling in the Cardinal Authority that his younger brother, Deontay Davis, has made another unofficial visit to Louisville's campus and received a scholarship offer. I believe that offer came yesterday. He is 6'4", and he is a younger player, just a sophomore this year. That would put him in the class of 2022. So I don't know where Indiana stands in the story that Jody had on Deontay Davis. He listed scholarship offers from Xavier, Butler, Bradley, Nevada, which is where Steve Alford is at, and Nebraska as well, which would make sense if he's the younger brother of DeAndre Davis, who recently decommitted to Nebraska. So let's see what happens with Indiana. Do they get involved in the younger Davis? Is there any involvement in the older Davis, even though there's some comparisons and some similarities between other players already in the fold? Definitely an interesting senior and an interesting sophomore to watch are the Davis brothers. And speaking of Lawrence Central, it's hard for me not to think ahead about high school basketball. We think about Jeffersonville being really good and having lots of talent this year. Floyd Central's going to be good. New Albany back with some returning players in the 4A class. I'm talking Lawrence Central could be a roadblock for one of our local teams in the semi-state round they are going to be absolutely loaded this year, and I think will be one of the better teams out of the Indianapolis area. So we'll see how the Davis brothers do with their recruiting. But the younger Davis, Deontay, Louisville offers, others have offered. Does Indiana get involved with him? We'll have to see. IU football and some high school football to close out the Zaxby's headlines. I saw Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. He had his midseason bowl projections, and he has Indiana playing on December 30th in the Red Box Bowl against in Santa Clara, California, against USC from the Pac-12. They are currently, I think, about fourth in that conference. Indiana, I think, is what, about sixth or seventh in the Big Ten Conference. He's got those two matched up against each other right now in his projections. Not bad for Indiana. If they win Saturday, if the Hoosiers win Saturday at Maryland, we're going to see a lot more bowl projections come out here over the next few weeks. And Indiana, obviously, with five wins, will be in a lot of bowl projections at this point. If Indiana doesn't win for some reason at Maryland this weekend, you may not see them in any or many bowl projections at all. But for now, one of the first I've seen out there, Indiana versus USC. The Red Box Bowl takes place December 30th. In Santa Clara, California. I don't know how that ranks in the bowl rankings. I mean, each bowl kind of has its place as far as the hierarchy of bowls, but I would have to think it's maybe above the Music City Bowl or above some of those bowls that Indiana has either played in or been mentioned to participate in recent years. So we'll see. But Indiana, if they keep winning, if they get win number five this weekend, they will definitely be in a lot more bowl projections. And, of course, if they win this weekend, I think they've got the opportunity not just to get to six and become officially bowl eligible, but I think they've got the opportunity as well to maybe get to seven wins in this season. High school football, I mentioned week nine coming up. It's the final week of the regular season. We will be featuring a couple games. One of those games will be, I think, potential for a pretty good game. Jeffersonville has won a couple games in a row. They're on the road at Bedford North Lawrence. Bedford has not had a great year. They've only got two wins, but clearly they have some ability because they played Floyd Central, who's had a really good year, to a very close, was it an 8-point game, I think, the Highlanders went on to win. But that will be one of our feature games on Friday. We'll be picking up some other games as well. We'll have call-in reports from some of the other contests, and, of course, we'll have scoreboard updates throughout the evening. I did hear that Rock Creek, who was supposed to play at home, at Worley Field in Jeffersonville against a team named Central Christian. And I'm not aware if that is that an actual school or if it's a club team. I don't know the details, but I did see that they are no longer playing that game. Central Christian has folded their football team for the season. So probably not a huge deal because Rock Creek likely would have beat them and ran past them pretty good, you would think, if they're having trouble struggling to keep their team alive. But it does give Rock Creek basically an off week heading into the postseason, which could be looked at as good or bad depending on the situation of that team. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We still have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic ahead to talk IU basketball and more. We'll also take a look at some Big Ten topics with Dustin as well. Later in the program, Craig Pearson is in studio. We'll talk high school football the last week of the regular season. We'll talk sectional pairings and some of those storylines there. We'll talk high school volleyball sectionals getting underway this week. There'll be some great matchups in high school volleyball, especially as the sectionals wind down to the semifinals and the championship games on Saturday night. I think the 4A sectional at Floyd Central could feature Providence against New Albany or someone from that other side of the bracket. Could be a pretty competitive match. Providence, obviously a big favorite, ranked not only in the state of Indiana, playing up a couple classes, but also in the country as well. There'll be some good volleyball played here in the area this week with some of the local sectionals and some real battles to see who from our immediate area gets out and gets the opportunity to go on to the regional round of play. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk IU basketball, Big Ten basketball, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back on this Wednesday program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us Wednesdays to talk IU basketball and more. We're going to get into a little Big Ten hoops today as well. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and is kind enough to join us Wednesdays here on the program. Dustin, if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk not only IU but a little Big Ten basketball. And I saw that Michigan State is having its media day later today and in East Lansing. And when I think of Michigan State and you look at the roster, you look at some of the returners, you look at Cassius Winston, you look at Coach Izzo, obviously, and everything that he's been in Big Ten and college basketball over the years, does this Michigan State team, who's getting a lot of high marks in the Big Ten Conference and a lot of high marks in college basketball before the season begins, do they have what it takes to be a Final Four, a national title contender this season?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, obviously, you know, they lost some players, but I think everybody else who finished better, you know, did anything better than they did a year ago, lost more, basically, or was even considered a better team last year, mostly lost more. And they've gained some things. I mean, obviously, you get Josh Langford coming back from the injury. I think a pretty good recruiting class there, read by Rocket Watts, who I've heard a lot of good things about in terms of his ability to score the basketball. There are some key losses there. Obviously, Kenny Goins is a big loss. I think Matt McQuaid's a significant loss. You know, Nick Ward obviously moving on. There's a little bit less punch in the front court, but they still have some guys. Basically, and obviously, I think Xavier Tillman was a guy that I think opened a lot of eyes last season that I was really impressed by. And again, like you said, I mean, they've got Izzo and they've got, you know, Cassius Winston. I think that makes a huge difference, just having guys. You know, obviously, Izzo run, you know, having been through it however many times and just being Tom Izzo. But, you know, Winston is just such an intelligent player and he's just so good at getting the ball where it needs to be and running an offense and, you know, scoring on his own and just doing everything right. Basically, I think that having a player like that, I think, you know, really puts them, you know, at a different level. I mean, everybody's putting a lot of athletes together, but I don't know that anybody has somebody with the savvy that Cassius Winston has, basically. I mean, I think he's the guy that you're really looking at this year. While he's not, you know, nearly as athletically gifted as some of these other players, he's just flat good at basketball, and I think that makes a big difference. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, certainly there's going to be teams to compete. I mean, you know that Kentucky's going to be there. You imagine Duke's still going to be pretty good. You know, there's going to be some real competition up top, but yeah, I think Michigan State's got the perfect combination of athletic talent, experience, savvy basketball players, and obviously having a Hall of Fame coach.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We're starting our chat today on some Big Ten subjects. I know we've talked some about your thoughts on the Big Ten as some of the national publications, preseason mags, begin to come out, and Indiana was 8, 9, 10 in some cases. I think I asked you your rundown of what you saw the Big Ten Conference like for this coming season, not just with Indiana. Now that we're much closer, now that we're just really weeks away from official exhibition games and really the start of the season, behind Michigan State, and I think it's clear that you and myself and everybody else would obviously list Michigan State as the Big Ten favorite heading into the season. Any update, any change in who you've got behind Michigan State? And tell us again who you do have behind the Spartans.
Yeah, I ended up putting Maryland second, and I don't know how great I feel about that. I do not feel like it's a decision made on completely sturdy ground, but I don't necessarily feel like anybody else is definitively better. I mean, you know, because we obviously, before Big Ten Media Day, you know, we do an unofficial official Big Ten poll. Brendan Quinn and of The Athletic and Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch run it now. It used to be Bob Baptist, baby, back in the day. Once the Big Ten decided to stop having, you know, full, you know, one to last place, whatever it was at the time, you know, polls, basically. I think I don't remember exactly when those ended, sometime in 2009, 10, you know, 11 range, they stopped having complete, you know, preseason Big Ten polls. So, you know, media just decided to do it on our own. And my vote for that was I said I had Maryland second and Ohio State third. I could easily flip those. And I'm not sure how great I feel about having Maryland above. But, you know, I think that they just have the most talent returning. I think Ohio State's got a really good freshman class coming in. But, you know, a handful of pretty, you know, decent experienced guys with Muhammad and certainly Caleb Wesson. I think it's going to be a difficult player for a lot of guys to get, you know, a lot of people to defend. But, you know, DJ Carlton, I'm trying to remember just the rest of that freshman class. I mean, there's a lot of good players that they've got coming in that I think that Ohio State team will be strong. And, you know, Maryland obviously got, you know, I think Anthony Cowan basically is the guy that a really experienced, savvy, athletic point guard guy that's tough to deal with, you know, and add on some other, you know, athletic guys after that. You know, I think Jalen Smith is a guy who has a chance to make a big leap. He's certainly, you know, one of those just tall, rangy, athletic guys that you knew was going to take some time getting used to, you know, basketball at the Big Ten level. And he had his moments where it looked really good last year, had his moments where he didn't look so great, but he's a guy that I could see making a big time leap. You know, Wiggins is a nice player. You know, I think they've got some other young players that I could see, you know, stepping up at the bigger roles this season. So I think Maryland might have the second best talent. I do love Chris Holtmann as a coach, so that might ultimately give Ohio State the edge there. But again, you know, they're not coming off a necessarily great season either, so they've got a lot of ways to build up. You know, it's going to take that talent, that freshman talent, is really going to have to show up for them to make it work. But I could flip those either way. And you know, I do think Purdue you have to put in there just because, I mean, they lose their big time scorers, but you certainly got a lot of experience, and you just got the, you know, Matt Painter factor. You at this point just know he's going to have them in there.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, our guest. We're talking some Big Ten subjects here to start our conversation. I want to ask about Minnesota as well. A couple things interesting about the Gophers. I saw they had a somewhat key loss potentially for the rest of the season. I believe it was an ACL tear by one of their big men, and that's never good news, especially before the season even begins. And literally hours, maybe a day after I saw that, Richard Pitino lands a big recruit with a national ranking to him in Jamal Mashburn Jr., who obviously his father had lots of success with back at Kentucky many, many years ago. So it sounds like some negatives for Minnesota, and then it sounds like a big recruiting land for Richard Pitino. What a turn of events. And I know he himself has been kind of up and down at Minnesota as far as being on the hot seat and then barely getting into the tournament. Where is he at as a coach this year in the conference? And maybe a little bit about the loss of, and I can't even think of the name right now off the top of my head, I'm sorry, but a loss like that heading into the season.
It's significant. I actually missed that piece of news myself. In terms of who was it, I actually got the ACL tear, so I'll Google that as we're talking, and I'll make sure I've got the name right, because I mean, they obviously, you know, lost a lot when it came to, you know, losing Jordan Murphy is one of the most productive players in Minnesota basketball history, so that's really significant. But obviously, the fact that team was able to get in the tournament and win a game in the first round really helped a lot in terms of Richard Pitino's job security. And I mean, he's not necessarily in a position where he's safe for the long term, but he got enough of an extension that he can. He's not losing his job this year. You know, it basically, well, whatever happens this season, he's not in any, I don't think, real danger, unless it's a complete disaster. But I think they managed, you know, they had to rewire their roster to a pretty extensive degree. But, you know, they've got some nice players. You know, Marcus Carr is the transfer from Pitt. I saw him play a little bit ago at Pitt, basically when I was doing some freelancing back home in Pittsburgh. And I thought he was a pretty impressive point guard. He's had a year to, you know, get, you know, mature and everything. And I think he's got a chance to, you know, to be a pretty decent player in the Big Ten. I was impressed by things that Gabe Kalscher did last year. He's both a really good defensive player and a shooter. I mean, I think he made life difficult on Carson Edwards when he defended him in the Big Ten tournament. So I think he's a pretty impressive player. And they got some pretty good freshmen. I think Isaiah Illman, I think, is the name of the one guy. They brought him in from Germany. He's a like 6'9" wing, and he's got pretty decent skills. Transfer kid from Drexel, and I'm not sure if he's the guy that got hurt or not. Daniel Oturo is their center, basically. And again, if it's him that got the injury, you know, that's an issue. But, you know, there are some pretty good athletes and pretty good players. I think they have a pretty good chance of, changing themselves up and making for an interesting dynamic. They might be a pretty good team. I don't know if they're going to be a great team necessarily, But they have a chance to be pretty good. Eric Curry's been dealing with injuries for a while, and he's kind of a backup forward to start with. So that's still a significant loss in terms of depth. But it's not devastating in the way that they would have, you know, lost one of the guys they were expecting to start. So I think they can, that's not going to kill them. But, you know, I think they're probably middle of the road, eighth, ninth, is where you'd expect them to be. But I think they have a chance to be better than some people think they will be. I mean, again, there's just a lot of new guys coming in. There's going to be a very different dynamic. Instead of being that kind of that high-low team they were last year when you had Murphy and Oturo together and you were forcing everybody else to try to play big against them, I think they're going to be a team that shoots from the outside more. I think they got a lot more shooting. They didn't have outside shooting really last year at all. So I think they have a chance to be a little bit more dangerous that way. I don't know if they're going to be great, but I think on occasion they're going to be able to surprise some people.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. Big Ten topics. Now let's move to Indiana after getting your thoughts on a number of things out there in the conference. I talked some yesterday with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on the show about Indiana's schedule from the exhibition game forward, and that really their first challenge doesn't come until early December and the Florida State game, which for a team where there's some newcomers, some freshmen that are expected to play, there's people like Jerome Hunter that you think they're going to play, but that you haven't seen them play for a year, or they really haven't played basketball competitively, at least in a game-type situation for a year. I feel like it's safe to say there's lots of unknown with that team. So that said, maybe the schedule that Indiana has in November and even the schedule in December with a couple Big Ten games matched mixed in the fold with this new longer Big Ten schedule, maybe that these opportunities allow Indiana to tinker, to toy, to experiment with roster, to experiment with starting lineups. Because when you look at the potential, let's just say the potential starting lineup, there are a lot of different possibilities, I think, on paper, and a lot of it comes down to who can play with who, similar positions that can play with each other, play off of each other, lots of different potential mixes for this team. And I think looking back on it once we get into January, Indiana coaches, Indiana fans, people following the team might see that some of these games are going to be opportunities to figure out what the lineup might look like in mid-December or in January when the full part of the Big Ten conference schedule begins.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. I don't think I've ever seen a schedule that looks like this in the sense that there are, you know, in the month of November, they don't leave Assembly Hall. They don't play anywhere else. And they don't play anybody that's even, you know, the closest things that they have to a major conference opponent are Princeton and Louisiana Tech, who aren't particularly close to being major conference opponents, but at least they're schools that most people have heard of. And I guess South Dakota State, if you've been a, you know, Mike Dom fan over the last few years, is a you know, big time mid-major guy. But you know, it's fascinating that way that they have the whole month of November, but immediately after that, you know, the whole month of December is people you have heard of. I mean, there is not a you know, everybody in their December schedule is, you know, a pretty much a major league team. I mean, I don't know how you look at UConn at this point, being an American Athletic Conference team that's going to transition in the Big East. You know, are they big league? Are they not? They're not necessarily Power Five, but they're Connecticut. They've got multiple national championships in this decade. So it's sort of just bizarre this way that there is this, they've got, kind of almost got this undercard in November, and then they've got this schedule in December that doesn't let up. You know, at any point in time from December 3rd, I mean, they don't get an easy game. In Nebraska, maybe, but that's a league game. So, you know, all the same, it's sort of fascinating that it works out that way. But yeah, you're right. It does give them an opportunity to figure out who they are. It gives them a chance to kind of get, you know, play around with some lineups, basically, and some matchups and some combinations, and figure out how they look, how they score, how they defend, what they look like. So I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how they use that first month and what it's like. I wonder how, how much this was by design. Certainly part of it, I think, is obviously they needed some home games and they're involved in just several events in December. They need to make sure they got to that number. And I think that's another thing too, is that this December, some of this was pre-planned. Certainly two of those are pre-planned league games. You've got the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They'd already signed up for the Jimmy V, and you've got Crossroads, and you've got the Arkansas return game. So that most of that was sort of already predetermined before they were sort of coming into this year and just, you know, closing out the schedule, a lot of that stuff was already set. But I think it makes sense, you know, from Indiana's perspective to say, all right, you know, we've still got a young team. We've got a lot of moving parts here. We're not sure who we are. And we're going to have this December schedule. So, you know what, let's not, you know, we've got enough good games on there that it's not going to be a problem for a tournament from a tournament resume perspective. You know, if we're going to win some of those games, we're going to get in or we're not, we're, you know, it's not going to be a question of strength and schedule with us. Let's just take November to get used to ourselves, you know, and not leave Bloomington. Let's not challenge, you know, push them too hard for this first month and just let them play.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Also with this IU team, any, and I've had a number of people ask me this as well, and I'm not sure this is a question that really could be answered a month ago and maybe still can't be answered with any reasonable confidence now, given all the moving parts and moving pieces in the potential lineups for this team, but and who's going to do what, who's going to be available for what with this team. But do you want to take a stab maybe at a win-loss record or at least a win cap you could potentially see for this Indiana team as you break down that schedule and look ahead?
Shoot. Man, it's so difficult to even guess with these guys, just to kind of who they're going to be. Let me see here. Now, let me look at the schedule and, you know, take a guess. I mean, I think I will be surprised if they don't go into December undefeated. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins. So let's presume they go in December undefeated. They got 7 wins out of the gate. Let's say they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's say they go 3-3 in December. Let's say they head into conference play 10-3. Let's say they get Northwestern 11, Rutgers 12, Nebraska 13. Let's say Penn State 14.
We're really putting you on the spot right here, man.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I hadn't thought of it from a win perspective. I mean, I would say, I mean, if I were to say a ceiling, best case scenario, I'd say this team wins 22 games.
Gotcha.
Best case scenario, if everything goes right, if it all comes together, if you know, Hunter is as good as they can ask him to be, if Trace Jackson Davis, you know, is as good as they can ask him to be, if Devontae Green is good Devontae more than he's bad Devontae, you know, if Rob Fennessy grows up and is, you know, sort of ready to take a little bit more charge with this team, you get what you want, you know, you get out of Al Durham, you know, you get Joey Brunk and, you know, Deron Davis staying healthy all year and making an impact. You know, I'm going to say that a cap that everything goes well, the best that, you know, that they can win 22 games. More likely they'll be in, you know, maybe the 18 and 19 vicinity. If everything really goes bad, they can be in the 14 to 15 win vicinity. You know, and it can really go bad. I mean, let's keep that in mind. It can go very poorly. You are still talking about a team that was an 19 team a year ago and lost its 2 best players. So you have to keep reminding yourself of that. I mean, I do think I expect them to have a little bit better chemistry. I do think, you know, I just after seeing him the first time, I think Hunter is going to be a player. I mean, I don't know if he's going to max out on what he's capable of this time around, but I think you're going to get a pretty functional Jerome Hunter, and that's going to matter. I think Trace Jackson Davis is going to be able to make a big time impact right away, and might be a fringe All Big Ten guy. I don't know if he's a first team All Big Ten guy, but I think he'll be, you know, fringe on one of those top three teams at least get in the discussion, you know, which is what you usually see from the best freshman in the league. So I think he'll be in that. So, you know, I think they've got it. They have a shot if everything goes right to win 20-something. You know, I think more likely you'll see them in the 18-19 range. And, again, if it goes poorly, it can go really soft.
Dustin, final question here after putting you on the spot with a win total. I'll give you something a little easier, more so just a comment or two. Romeo Langford at Boston, nothing major as far as injuries go, a little groin tweak that delayed his start in the training camp, and now a right knee sprain. It looks scary coming down on the video clip I saw in the game, but it doesn't appear to be a serious injury at all. But nonetheless, some little nicks here and a bang here, and he really has had his start or potential start in Boston in the preseason, where you expect a lot of minutes to be available for a player like him. He's really had his start slowed down.
Yeah, and that's tough. You know, that's obviously a situation where, first off, you know, just because of the thumb surgery, you know, it took him a while to get rolling to begin with. You know, he wasn't on the floor very much for a while. So this is certainly going to hold his progress back, and I think obviously that's going to have to factor into expectations for his first year. And you know, which is a shame because again, we keep talking about reasons why we have to hold back his expectations as he's gone into the next level. But that doesn't mean that ultimately there isn't a chance that he's going to get a lot better. If you stick around and you keep giving him a chance, that this will eventually pay off. For him and for Boston, I do think Brad Stevens has real faith in him. I think that's something too that really bears mentioning that I don't think Stevens would take him if he didn't trust him, and if he didn't trust a lot of people and believe that okay, this is a guy that's worth the investment. That even if it doesn't come together immediately this time around, that there will be an opportunity for him being really valuable. I mean, I did see one clip. I haven't watched a lot of preseason NBA, to be totally honest with you. I spent a lot more time watching baseball playoffs, but the clips that I have seen of Romeo have looked pretty good. I mean, there was one play that he, really toasted a guy getting to his right hand and getting the rim, which is sort of the, classic Romeo move. And that's the hardest thing to stop that he can do is when he gets downhill with his right hand, it's almost impossible to keep him away from the rim. And that showed up at least in that clip in the NBA too. And I think that's going to be there. But again, certainly it's going to hold him back. It's going to be tough for him. I think it might be tough for him, especially because it certainly looks like Carson Edwards came to play. That guy's going to play immediately and, be an impact guy immediately. So, it might not look great for Romeo by comparison, but that doesn't mean a year from now or 2 years from now, you might not see him make a similar leap. So I think it's obviously important for, fans of him not to get discouraged and for him personally not to get discouraged, if he takes some blumps and basically runs into some speed bumps at this point in the preseason and even throughout his rookie season.
Did I see Carson Edwards 30 points last night? And even more impressive than that, he had like 8 3-pointers and
in a
handful of minutes. Really, I mean,
yeah,
amazing.
It's crazy. No, I mean, I just saw the clips of that, and it's almost like that Virginia game never ended for him. I mean, like you even saw some of the plays he was making in summer league. He's been that on ever since. It seems like sometimes it's unbelievable that he has been just lights out. Obviously Carson's dealing with the reality that he's 6 feet tall in the NBA, but that shot's going to show up, and I think just him as a, it's just very obvious to me that as a second team guard, he has a long future in the NBA. I think the first word that name that anybody comes up with as that's of a certain age is Vinny Johnson is that guy that could come off the bench and just go off quickly, and Carson looks like that guy, that he can be that guy again that comes off the bench and just can go nuts at any point in time. But I mean the shots, the quick shots, not a lot of space, pull up deep, it's wild. And I think Brad Stevens, I think, was quoted as saying last night, I'm not sure I've seen anything like that. You're still talking about a preseason game all the same, and it's certainly different when you really get going in the league and, get further into playoffs. But I mean, Carson Edwards can make those shots at that level. So he is going to be able to play and, basically just do that job, I think, for a very long time.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us Wednesdays, IU basketball, good stuff around the Big Ten as well. Dustin, I appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Great stuff from Dustin Dopierak. As always, he covers IU, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some local sports. Week 9, final week of high school football, at least regular season style, coming up Friday night. We'll talk sectional football pairings. We'll talk even volleyball this week. Good area for volleyball. Lots of good teams, lots of good players. Craig Pearson will help us go through some of the headlines there. We'll chat with Craig, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt, coming up right here after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
On Wednesdays, we have the opportunity to chat with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We talk local sports headlines
here in Southern Indiana, and a lot going on in this fall time of year. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet any of your apparel needs, t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, anything from screen printing, embroidery, or fully sublimated sports uniforms. Let them outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more by visiting their website, which is mlshirtco.com. Again, mlshirtco.com. Craig, final week is where we're headed Friday night of high school football. I can't believe, we say this every year, can't believe how quick the regular season has passed us. We're headed into the postseason following this week 9 of high school football. But first, a number of games to talk about this Friday night, where local teams trying to continue, in some cases, building some momentum heading into the tournament. Others trying to finish off a fairly good season, and some probably wish the season was over with a week or so ago, to be quite honest. But nonetheless, a big mix of games this Friday night. Jeff at Bedford, Corden at Silver Creek, New Albany hosts Jennings County, Providence on the road at Linton Stockton, Floyd Central at Seymour, that could be a good one. Clarksville hosts North Harrison, and Charlestown trying to finish with a nice winning streak. They go on the road at Eastern Pekin. Let's talk about week 9, the final week of high school football.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you said, the Floyd at Seymour does kind of stand out as a great matchup, and New Albany was able to beat Seymour, and they've got a nice team there with the Owls, and while Floyd is coming off the win against Bedford at home, it wasn't an overwhelming performance. It was kind of a grinded out, deal with some mistakes and get through that adversity type of win. So they need to bounce back and put together a better performance going into the postseason. Jeffersonville at home against that Bedford team, and Jeff's on a little bit of a roll, I think, and the offense has picked up, and you hope to see that continue from their perspective. Like you said, Charlestown, I think Eastern's 0-8, so that I think it's probably a foregone conclusion they'll win that one and go to 7-2 and ride some serious momentum into the postseason and get ready for a big Brownstown game. Just hope to get through this one healthy and ready to roll for what's going to be an awesome game in the postseason. Silver Creek as well. I think they'll finish out with a win there against Corden and go to 8-1. Finish off a great regular season there. New Albany, who do the Bulldogs have again?
New Albany will host Jennings County.
That's right.
On Friday night.
That's right. Jennings is certainly a team that New Albany could get another W against, and the Bulldogs have progressed pretty nicely, I think, with that young squad this year.
Yeah, no question. Some interesting games, which really kind of helped shape up for the sectional, which begins the following week. In most cases, the local 5A teams, Jeffersonville, New Albany, Floyd Central, they do not play in that opening week of playoffs. They have what's considered a bye week with just being a four-team sectional. Their first-round semifinal games will not begin until November 1st. But, Craig, as we look at the pairings as they came out from Indianapolis on Sunday, I think you've got to start with 5A right out of the gate. New Albany and Jeff drew each other. Kind of those teams have been on similar paths. I know Jeffersonville got the best of New Albany when they played in the regular season, but New Albany and Jeff both have opportunities to win on Friday night. Jeff's opportunity probably a little tougher than New Albany's. New Albany and Jennings County could be a game as well. Both have opportunities, though, to finish out the season with a number of wins in a row, which is building momentum for the postseason and a potential rematch. And I've got a feeling Jeff might win that rematch. That's possible, but I think it'll be a little closer than maybe it was the first time around.
Right. I mean, it was, fairly convincing win for Jeffersonville that first time around. I think, like you said, both teams have a chance to go into the postseason 4-5, and you just never know. Yeah, what did New Albany learn from that first matchup, and who's going to be more prepared, I guess, and more, figure out something different to approach the game with from the scouting report perspective and that sort of thing. You just never know. And, that could be a pretty – I would expect – I would agree. I would expect closer – matchup this time around. And then Floyd, you know, you got to like that draw for them. They get to play at home, and you know, that's a good setup for them, I believe, and they'll probably play better against Bedford the second time around.
Talking to Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He joins me Wednesdays, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. You know, Silver Creek has had a tremendous year. They battled with Brownstown. They're a little shorthanded. They've had some injuries. I still thought it was a very respectable game, even though it was a loss for the Dragons, who fall to 7-1. And likely, they're going to finish the regular season with an 8-1 mark, which is fantastic. That said, the sectional pairings for Silver Creek, you know, they really – and they might go on to win the sectional. I have no idea. But they could really add some wins to their total against, I think, anybody in that sectional, except maybe the team they drew. East Central, a perennial power, a state champion-type team, undefeated. They have an amazing football program that they run in that community and have for a number of years. And Silver Creek and East Central will play right out of the bat. And on top of that, it's at East Central as well, to make matters worse.
Right, yeah. You can't imagine a worse draw here than to go on the road there. But, you know, maybe that's a deal where they can, you know, really gear up and get pumped up to get the postseason rolling and try to pull off the upset, you know what I mean? So it's certainly a big opportunity for that program, you know, and it could be one of the bigger wins in their history of their program, you know, if they're able to pull it off and could give them a chance to win a sectional. I think Mooresville's the big favorite on the other side of that bracket, and they've been in the top 10 as well. So, yeah, definitely a tough matchup. And like we talked about Charlestown and with the tough matchup as well, but they are at home, and I think, you know, a different team than they were week one, week two, and could certainly see them knocking off Brownstown, and that would be a huge win for Coach Hawkins and then Marion Lukes and company as well.
This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or an event, let their fan stores do all the work for you. You can outfit your fans, you can raise money. With very little effort, they even do all the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. You can find out more at Major League Shirt Company by visiting their website, mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. Craig, could you see Clarksville, the Generals, who just picked up their second win of the year and have really turned the corner as far as a program overall, could you see them in a sectional championship game? They've got to play Providence out of the gate. Clarksville has two wins. Providence has three wins on the season. Providence is the favorite. Providence beat them earlier in the year, but they did so without Clarksville's star, Davon Fuqua. And I say that because if Clarksville or whoever wins that game, if Providence wins as well, the semifinal game is really a you're going to take on a very bad high school football team no matter who comes out. So if Clarksville or Providence could find a way to win, they're going to get, basically, unless the wheels fall off, an opportunity to play for a sectional championship.
Absolutely. You know, as soon as you look at those pairings, you think, oh, man, that could be a heck of a story there if Clarksville's able to, you know, knock off their town rival and then march into the championship game. And what's a big, regardless of what happens for Clarksville, it's a big year for them to win a couple ball games, and they've got some talent, and Coach Bozier's obviously and his whole staff have got the energy and stuff going in the right direction for that program. So that's good to see. And, you know, whether they can hang closer with and try to knock off Providence, I don't know. I mean, it was 35-8 the first time around, but you know, it's certainly a possibility. So, you know, we hope to see a good ball game there for sure.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We didn't get a chance to talk much about volleyball. Sectionals have begun. Semifinals Saturday, championship game Saturday night. I'll be out at Floyd for Providence, we think, against who knows in that 4A final. Craig, thanks. Right. That's going to wrap
Thank
it up
you.
For today. Talk with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.